Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." And then we're going to flip over to verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." And then this from the book of Revelation. Jesus is speaking. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Today we begin a seven-part series called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it's based on that little booklet that you should have in front of you that Robert Munger wrote years and years ago. Robert Munger is a Presbyterian, or was. He passed away a few years ago. He was a Presbyterian pastor, and he wrote that book originally as a little bit of a talk. That book has sold over 10 million copies. 10 million copies. And as you can tell just by flipping through it, I don't want you to read it now. You can read it. It'll take you about 5 minutes to read it when you get home. But as you look through it, it's a very simple, very plain little booklet. I gave it to my 14-year-old daughter to read last night, and she understood it. She liked it. She enjoyed it. So it's really simple. It took her a little bit longer than 5 minutes to read it. But that's what it is. The essence of the book is this. It's small and it's easy to read, but it's got a very profound message. The message is this, that when we open the door of our life to Jesus Christ, when we allow him to come in, then what he does is he comes in and he renovates the various areas of our life. And what Bob Munger does is he takes life and he divides it up into different rooms. There's the living room and the bedroom and the rec room and the study. And his point is that as Jesus comes into our life, what he does is he begins to renovate each one of those areas in our life, in our heart, in other words. So today I'm introducing this series with a topic called the invitation. The paradox of this invitation that Jesus gives is that Jesus says he's willing to come into our life. He's willing to come over to our house and renovate it. And he does it for free to us. That's not usually how it works. Usually when we're renovating something, we're paying somebody else to come over. And we tell them exactly what we want to happen and what we want done, and then they leave. That's not exactly what Jesus is doing. He's coming in and he wants to renovate our house, and he wants to renovate our house so that he can live in it, so it will be his home. The problem, of course, is that sometimes there's so much clutter in our house that we're not always responsive. Sometimes we're so busy we don't hear the knock on the door. You know, invitations come in all shapes and sizes and for a variety of reasons. But oftentimes on those invitations, there is that little, four little letters at the bottom, or maybe they're handwritten, it says RSVP. And when that's on there, what that means is that the person who's sending you that invitation wants you to respond. They want you to say yes or no to what's going on. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, wow, you can't read the R, can you? One of the things, that's right, I'll get to that in a minute. Sometimes when I get an invitation, particularly a wedding invitation in the mail, and it's several months off, what I do is, okay, it's there, and they want me an RSVP, and we say, okay, all right, and we put it over in this pile of stuff, you know, mail that we're going to get to, or this to-do stuff. And then about a week before the wedding, we go, did we RSVP to them? I hate to tell you this, but more than once, we've sort of forgotten to do it. We just have been so busy that we haven't got to it. You know, at the end of this service today, we're going to give everybody an opportunity to RSVP to God. We're going to do it through communion. You see, communion is a tangible way. It's a tangible way by which we can say yes to God. Because when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, which of course symbolize His body and His blood, what we're doing then is we're saying, God, I need You inside of me. I need Your strength. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your love. I need Your courage. I need Your strength. I need all of those things. That's what we're saying when we come to this table. We're in a sense saying, God, I want You to reconfigure who I am. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And in the text, the meaning of that text is fairly plain. It means He's knocking. And it doesn't mean that He knocks and then walks away, because He knows that somebody's home. And so He continues to knock, waiting for our response. Now, as I said a minute ago, RSVP is a French term, and I can't remember what that is. And it means that we're waiting to respond, or where somebody wants us to respond. But RSVP also means three other things, particularly as it relates to Jesus. First of all, maybe RSVP means renovate stuff that is very personal. Secondly, it could mean restructure schedules that are vital and pressing. Third, it could mean remodel situations that value new priorities. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not wild about remodeling. Remodeling is a huge mess. If any of you have ever remodeled your home, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not wild about the mess that remodeling creates. And I'm also not somebody that particularly likes to have my schedule changed. I don't like somebody to come in and sort of upset my day and rearrange the furniture of my life and do those kinds of things. Change my priorities. I like my schedule just sort of the way it is. I don't like somebody coming in and making them different and difficult.
Will, did you get my invitation? I'm inviting myself over. I seem to have been locked out of your life recently, and there's some renovating that needs to be done.
That's never happened before. I got your invitation. I'm a little busy right now. You know, I'm sort of in the middle of something. Can you come back later? I mean, did you not see the no trespassing sign I had on my door? It was right outside in the big sign outside in my front yard there. Did you not see that? I'm just wondering, because I'm wondering if you just couldn't come back at another time. I mean, I don't like people coming onto my property unless I've said okay to that. Besides, my house is a real mess.
I saw the beware of dog sign and the sign that said, the last person who near this house is now missing. But I didn't see the no trespassing sign. But please, know that I'm an expert in messy houses. I specialize in cleaning things up. There is no better time to do that than the present. I actually am the owner of this property. Anyway, so I didn't feel as if I were trespassing. I'm the one who approved the loan.
You approved the loan? You approved the loan of my house? That's great. I love my house. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. May I come in?
Not right now. It's just not a good time. I'm in the middle of trying to do this sermon, and I'm talking about you and your word and stuff. Maybe you could come back a little later. There's lots of things that are going on right now. September comes, and there's lots of stuff going on. I'm pretty busy. I don't think I can put one more thing on my plate. Can you come back at another time?
If you let me in, you will find that I am far more than just one more thing. In fact, I can help you sort out to the things that are less important. Throw old habits away. Get rid of the business for busyness' sake, and give you focus and significance.
Well, I appreciate that. Only one thing. I really have all the stuff in my life fairly well organized right now. I mean, I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at organizing. It's one of my spiritual gifts. So I sort of have things just sort of where I want them right now. And, there's some things in particular, God, I'm not real sure I want you messing with. I mean, there are things that are kind of private, and I have them just in the right space and the right order and sort of the right significance and quantities in my life. So, I'm really good at just sort of organizing stuff and cleaning things up. I think I've got a pretty good handle on that. I think I'm pretty good at that. I'm all right with that.
Yes, I know. You do a great job organizing your life the way that you like it. But have you ever thought if you let me in, you could let go all the burden of cleaning up by yourself? I will be able to see the clutter that has been there for years that you walk by every day and never notice because it's been there for so long. It's all that you know life to be, but it doesn't mean that's all that there is. It's amazing how airy and brighter room can become when cleared out. You'd be amazed.
Yeah, I'm sure I would be. You are right about at least one thing. I do have an inordinate amount of clutter in my house and in my rooms. Lots of stuff there could probably get moved. And matter of fact, I was just doing that the other day. But the other thing that I've noticed, too, is I've got a whole room full of good intentions. They're pretty well organized. They're stacked kind of neatly there. I know exactly what I want to do, what I've always wanted to do. I just can't seem to quite get to them.
So may I come in then and get started?
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. No, not right now. This is my problem. If I invite you in, you're going to change stuff. You're going to change things around. And I was just telling these folks that I don't like stuff changed around. The other thing is that if you come in, I'm afraid that I'm going to get sort of stereotyped as some kind of right-wing, kind of narrow-minded, unloving kind of guy. A Jerry Falwell kind of guy. He gets crucified in the media. I don't want my neighbors to think I'm that kind of person. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be friends with you. I think it's good for my family to see you and me together, sort of a little bit buddy-buddy. But, I'm not sure I want too much. I think it promotes good family values if, they see me and you sort of hanging out a little bit.
Values are like cut flowers. They will wither and die unless rooted in the soil of my presence at the center of life.
That's pretty profound. Why can't you just come in and take a peek and then sort of leave? I mean, why can't you just sort of come in and look around and then just sort of maybe give me a suggestion or two and then leave?
Yes, I know, but that's not the way it works.
Well, why not? I've got neighbors. I mean, Joe Bagwell lives around the corner from me, and when he stops in occasionally, you know, he sort of accepts me the way I am, and he looks around and says everything's cool, and then he leaves. I mean, why can't it work like that? I mean, why can't you just be like one of my neighbors that come in and say, okay, you know, this is the way he is, this is the way he lives, then leave?
I don't want to come by for just a few minutes.
Well, what is it that you do want?
I want to take up residence with you. Where you are, that's where I want to be.
Okay, let me see if I can work a compromise here. How about this? How about I've got a side door. I've got a door on the side of my house by my garage. It leads into my garage. How about if I let you sort of slide into my garage? There's a fence around it, which is kind of nice because then the neighbors won't see you. If you just sort of slide in the side door, you can start to organize the stuff in my garage, because stuff in my garage, you know, quite frankly, that's not really important stuff. The really important stuff's in my house. But if you come into my garage and just sort of organize it, that way at least you're sort of on the periphery of my house. You can organize stuff, but it's not going to really make a permanent dent in who I am. You know, I mean, you'll be in the house and we'll probably hear you moving some stuff, but you're not going to have a real big impact on our life, because most of our living takes place in the living room. Most of the big stuff takes place in the living room. How's that?
If you let me in, you'll have to let me in all the way. I must be invited into the living room, into the hub of your life.
Wow, you're persistent. What? Why aren't you willing to compromise on this? What's wrong with compromise?
I do not compromise when it comes to loving you completely.
Well, I see what you mean as I'm looking at the communion table. But here's the thing. Here's my struggle with what's going on. I'm really trying to work at a compromise here with you, God, because what I want is just sort of a comfortable, normal life. You know, I don't want anything too much. I want a comfortable, normal life. I want a little bit of church, not enough to change me, but just enough to tell people where I go. I want a little bit of, you know, interaction with my neighbors, not a lot, because, you know, then you get into their personal problems. You know, I just want it sort of superficial, just sort of wave at them as I'm walking my dog. I want a little bit of my family, enough to know that I feel good about being a parent. I want a little bit of maybe community involvement, or maybe working out at the Helping Hands Food Bank. You know, I want my work there, and then I want some time for leisure, some tennis or racquetball kind of a thing. You know, I want just sort of generally some balance, just sort of a comfortable level there. Nothing that's going to change anybody or going to change my life or anybody else's life. Just a normal, comfortable life.
I am not the God of the normal, balanced, comfortable life. I am the God of the abundant life. Abundant means more than enough. There is no balance when it comes to this. My love for you tips the scale. It clouds out all the other things you might be doing because there is so much of it. That's what my love is for you. Abundant, all-encompassing, eternal. But I can't give you the abundance of my love unless I clear out space for you to receive it. There's a lot in your heart, which is my home, that's crowding me out. I can't even get in the door.
Why don't you barge in? I mean, you're the one who told me a few minutes ago that you own the property, you approved the loan. Why don't you just open the door and just sort of barge in and do whatever you're going to do? Take control, change stuff. You know, you're God. You're supposed to be able to do that. Why don't you just do it?
Your heart has a doorknob. It's up to you to RSVP by turning that knob. I will not come in and renovate stuff of a very personal nature without an RSVP of yes from you. I will simply keep knocking and keep trying to give you every opportunity to freely choose for me.
And you want to come in and you want to change things on the inside.
I can be dangerous that way, but always with your best intentions at heart.
And you want to come and you want to make this a permanent kind of arrangement. This isn't sort of like a house guest where you're going to leave. This is a permanent thing, right?
It's either all or nothing. My love is too big for you not to take up every nook and cranny. Once I enter, I can't be fully contained unless I throw stuff out. Change what's prominent, move things around to accommodate my presence.
Okay. Let me see if I can say this a different way again. Here's my thing about you being really in the middle of my life, like in the living room. And I'm wondering whether or not you really have to be there. That's what I'm questioning. Why do you have to be at the center of my life? What's wrong with being in the garage? I mean, here's my issue. You know, in the living room of my life, that's where all the stuff happens. That's where the big stuff happens in my life. That's where my relationships with my family and my wife go on. And I'm not really sure I want you to see and change even some of the dynamics and some of the stuff that's going on there. Some of that's really painful and it's hurtful and it's private. And then, and if that's not enough, the other part of it is that I'm not sure that, you know, you have a whole big place in the corporate world. I mean, I go off, you know, and I have corporate meetings. I've got private meetings. I've got somebody who I meet with my boss and we talk about profit and loss. We talk about agendas and projects. We talk about quotas. We talk about all kinds of different things. There's lots of people problems. You know, there's a lot of power brokers that I meet with, or clients that I meet with, and they're not interested in you. They're just interested in themselves. They want to know what I can do for them. You know, that commercial that Brown, what can Brown do for you? Well, that's me. That's what people want to know. So they wouldn't feel comfortable, and I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable sort of bringing you into the middle of all that. That's part of my issue. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know how you belong, how you sort of fit into the corporate culture or sometimes even my family situation, because it's not particularly spiritual most of the time. You still there?
Yes, the world. Oh, I love the world so much it may surprise you. But actually, I do understand the world scene quite well and the way it works. I've been known to shake things up quite a bit, too, in order that even the kind of people in your living room can have their hearts become my home. It's why I died for the world. It's why I live for the world. It's why I stand at the door and knock for the world. It's why I wait for your RSVP to invite me in completely.
All right, well, I'm sure we'll talk again. People, Jesus oftentimes told stories that weren't finished. And the reason why he did that was because he wanted the people to place themselves in the middle of that situation, that unresolved situation. It's my hope this morning, and as we go through this series, that you would respond to Christ's knocking at the door of your heart and your life. It's my hope this morning in particular that you would open the doorknob and let him come in. And if you've never done that before, now is a wonderful time and a good morning to be able to do that, to say yes to allowing him to be the leader of your life. Maybe you've already committed yourself as a Christian, and so you have your fire insurance, but, you know, Jesus is still sort of out in the garage area. You know, he's not really in the middle of your life. He's out there on the edges. He's on the fringes, but he's not in the middle. It's a good time, especially this morning, as we celebrate communion, to recommit, to move him from the garage to the living room. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for years and you're really tight with him. and you have a good relationship, then praise God and use this opportunity this morning to ask Him to give you even more love for those around you. Ask Him to clean out even more of the clutter that we have. Because one thing we know as people, there will always be clutter in our lives that God can get rid of. Always. So the question this morning for each one of us is, how are you going to respond to Christ knocking the door of your heart? Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank You that Jesus is persistent. We thank You that You have chased us throughout time and eternity, across the parking lot, across continents, across states, just to be able to call us Your child, just to be able to love us. Lord, we pray today that we wouldn't keep You at arm's length any longer, but that we would make a firm, solid commitment to You, that You will change our life, that You'll renovate and renew and restore and restructure who we are. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.